Good morning, WCC. How's everybody doing? Yeah? A little gloomy out there. Everybody ready for Christmas? Yeah? Okay. Judgment-free zone. I read a little fun fact the other day. I just want to know, is this true? A third of the U.S. population still has a significant amount of gifts to get this last week before Christmas. Is that true? Yeah. I've got a few myself as well. That's all right. Like I said, judgment-free zone. Hey, anyways, my name is Greg Demopoulos. I have the privilege of serving as our community outreach pastor here. So I just want to welcome all of you, those of you watching online and those of you here in the auditorium. Thanks for being here today. If you're newer to WCC, would you mind filling out a connection card just to let us know that you joined us today? You can do that online, you can do that through the WCC app, or if you stop out at the Info Center just to introduce yourself, we've got a small gift bag just to say thanks for being here today. Now, a couple quick announcements. Next Sunday, Christmas Eve, we've got four services, two in the morning, our normal times of 9 and 10:30, and those will have children's programming up to 3 years old, okay? So if they're older than three, four, and beyond, they're in here with us because these are family-friendly services. It's going to be a great time. We've got a kids' choir. We'll have children's story time. We'll be doing candle lighting. So it's going to be a great service. Then we've got two in the afternoon, identical, 3 and 4:30. But those do not have any children's programming, okay? And if ever there is a service to invite family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, do it on Christmas Eve, especially with it being on a Sunday, okay? So we've got a whole webpage, warsaw.cc/Christmas. You can find all kinds of information about Christmas services. There's an FAQ. If you've got people that you know are going to be coming with you and their kids have never been checked in to Sunlight, we actually have a pre-registration link, so you can speed up their check-in process just by pre-registering them. So all that stuff's online at warsaw.cc/Christmas. Then, as we've done for many years, just a reminder, the week after Christmas, we're not meeting in person here in the church. So if you show up and the parking lot is empty, that's why. You're going to be a little lonely that day. But there is a service that you can tune in online. That just allows staff and our volunteers to be able to spend more time with family and friends that weekend. And then we'll start up again the following week, okay? For those of you that have been asking, we do have a winter baptism scheduled. So that's going to be January 28th. If you're interested in being baptized, you can sign up for the baptism classes. And that registration closes January 15th. So with all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, it comes quick once we get back into the new year, so just make sure you sign up for those classes before January 15th, okay? And lastly, just want to say thank you for your continued giving, your generosity, especially this time of year. It seems like needs are amplified through the winter. Most often we see that people are a missed paycheck away from needing help, a family crisis, a medical issue. I know my family's been in that situation, and so that's one of the main reasons why we do our care fund at the end of the year. For nearly 20 years we've been doing this, and it's above and beyond our typical giving, but it allows us to be as generous as we possibly can throughout the year to help people that are struggling. So to learn more about the care fund, let's take a look at this video.
My name is Andrea Payton, and I'm the controller at WCC. The purpose of the WCC Care Fund is to help the church body show generosity in our community around the world and to provide direct care to people in our church, in Warsaw, and other parts of the world. The Care Fund has been around since 2006, and since that time, we have received over $4 million. Regular giving and tithing, you are primarily giving to the operating fund of the church, whereas the care fund is beyond that. It's a way to help others in our community directly. This year we have two buckets. The first bucket is crisis and hardship. The second bucket is missions and disaster relief. The first bucket includes monies that are allocated to the WCC ministry so that when we go out into the community to share the hope of the gospel and we find needs, there's money that we can tap into to address those needs specifically. For missions and disaster relief, those monies are allocated to our mission partners globally. Again, we have money in our budget to help them with their day-to-day needs, but sometimes they have needs that go above and beyond that because of emergencies and other things. So we have money available to give them when that happens. And for disaster relief, we set aside money so when there's disasters in our community or around the world, we have money to provide relief for those that are part of those disasters. I see the difference on a daily basis, almost a daily basis. I see it by the way our church body goes out and forms Christ-centered relationships and helps others through those relationships. I see it through our partners. I see how Fellowship Mission, The Nest, Lost Sparrows is in our community helping people on a daily basis. And I have to say the growth that I've seen in the last couple of years has just been amazing. I've seen God working in this church in amazing ways through the church body, through our partners. And it's just exciting. And what I would say to anybody who asks is to join us. Join us on this journey that we're taking as God is the leader, leading us into relationship with others in our church, in our community, in our world. I can't stress how much joy and satisfaction that's brought me.
All right, so the last 2 weeks we've heard from Ben from Habitat for Humanity. We've heard from Stacy from The Nest and Lost Sparrows. And today we get to hear from Eric Lane. Would you help me welcome Eric from Fellowship Missions? Thanks. Eric, thanks for being here. People typically know Fellowship Missions as the homeless shelter, but the services you guys provide are far greater than that. Can you kind of walk us through that a bit?
Yeah, thanks for having us. Yeah, 13 and a half years ago, it's crazy to think, we did. We started off with that left-hand side with emergency shelter and then really started expanding as we saw what the real issues in lives were. And we have our life skills and now our recovery programming that we do. And really when we look at somebody that's coming through the door, first, everything we do is about relationships. So in our emergency shelter, you see all those different circles up there, but everything that we do when we're touching somebody's life, it's all about building up relationships. And these are some of the things in emergency shelter, and then the life skills. You can see a lot of them are the same because, again, it's holistically, there's a holistic approach to it. And then in our addiction recovery, and it's because of the partnerships we're able to do these things because we don't do them alone. There's individuals in this room that come in and volunteer and other organizations in the community that help make that happen.
Awesome. You guys are stepping out into the community even further. You did this year with the food truck, and you've got some exciting stuff coming up beyond just the shelter building. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the food truck, it's fun to drive and fun to work in. That was the brainchild of our staff. One of our staff members, my wife and I had talked with for years about doing something. This is an extension of our culinary program inside of our shelter where residents then can gain employment skills. She teaches them culinary. And then what was really cool and what we wanted with this is our residents are running it. So we actually have a young man that ran it for the last couple months that we had it this year. And hopefully once we start it back up in March, he'll run it again.
Awesome. And then this coming year, you've got something exciting going on as well, right?
Yes, very excited. A lot of you have seen the building downtown. We will be closing on it soon. And what we're going to be calling that is called the Gathering Place. As needs are continuing to grow in our community for recovery, this is going to be a place for anybody to gather, but it's going to have recovery resources in it as well. One of the things we want to do is we want to blur the lines. And this is a space we really want to do that because God didn't make any of us less than or greater than. We just have different circumstances. And so the first floor there, We want to be able to have just a kind of a landing pad for the recovery community to be. In fact, I talked with somebody between services, said, hey, can I go in and do a Bible study with a guy in there? Well, of course you can, because it's about community, and we're all part of that community. So, and then we'll have resources upstairs for larger meetings and things. So we're excited about that.
Very cool. Yeah. So the CARE Funds had an impact on fellowship missions in the past. Can you walk us through how it's been able to help you guys?
Yeah. Gosh, since day one, WCC's partnered. So it's not really partnered, it's family. And so you can see over the last 13 and a half years how many adults, youth, and then our emergency beds. Those are beds from November 1 through the end of March that we just open up. We have 51 beds. Right now, we're averaging about 8 extra a night. We've had as many as 15 extra a night. And then our food, which is on the next slide. This one, our meals, that's a lot. For us to be able to do that on our own would be almost impossible. But through the generosity of this church and others in the community, this is what you guys are giving to this time of year. So I can't express enough how important it is, not only to us, but all the organizations that you guys have seen on stage and some that you won't see on stage that WCC still partners with. You guys are huge parts of that. And so thank you very much on behalf of Fellowship Missions and the other organizations and those we serve for being those hands and feet and reaching out into the community the way you do. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Eric. Appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you, buddy.
Just a great opportunity to partner with you guys, so thank you. Hey, if you want to learn more about some of the stuff that Fellowship Missions is doing, they do have a table in the lobby. You can stop by there, chat with them. And you can also find more information about the CARE Fund by grabbing one of the What's Going On flyers on your way out, or remember that warsaw.cc/Christmas page. All the information's on there as well. So thanks again for being here today. Let's stand, lift our voices, and praise together.
Joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord, He has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. We will sing, sing, sing. Joy to the world. We will sing, sing, sing.
Of his love.
And wonders, wonders, wonders of joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Happy morning, Jesus, to thee be all glory. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
I love those words. He is our Emmanuel. He is our Prince of Peace, our Mighty God. All of that being born into a little baby. God chose to enter the salvation for our world through a little child. He was born in Bethlehem, and that night there were shepherds that were watching their sheep, and an angel appeared among them, and he said this: the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has just told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and that what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds were astonished. But Mary, she kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often.
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap and sleeping, whom angels greet with anthem sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard.
Shepherds, God, and angels sing. Haste,
Lord, you chose to bring the salvation to us in the form of a baby, an infant baby Jesus. And Lord, that child grew, and then he became our salvation by dying on the cross, by being pierced for each of us, shedding his blood for each of us. Father, let those who are here today and those who are online know that you sent your son for each of us. Every single person here is given your love and your salvation. And we thank you for loving us that much. We give our hearts to you in your precious name. Amen. You may be seated.
Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, "And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. The peace which Christ brings through the cross is a deep and lasting peace. It's a broad and all-consuming peace, not peace as the absence of war or conflict, but peace of everything being made right through him. Everything in heaven and on earth is made right through Christ's sacrifice, and we enter his reign of peace when we choose to trust in him as our Savior and proclaim him as Lord. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings." This third Sunday of Advent, we light the third candle, which represents peace, along with the candles of grace and presence.
Good morning. I needed that. Wasn't that great? You know, I was thinking about a song, and it just keeps popping into my head. I'm not going to sing it because you still wouldn't know what song it was, but if this helps, John Lennon wrote it. It's older, but it gets played a lot this time of year, and it starts off by saying, "So this is Christmas. So this is Christmas." So I want to just be thinking about what Christmas is and maybe your state of mind today. You know, we're heading in towards Christmas. You know how many shopping days left? Who cares? I do, because you don't have my list yet. I'm a little concerned that you're not going to be buying what I want. But any gift will do. 7 shopping days left. You know, I try to avoid stores at all costs. Maybe a hardware store once in a while, but especially this time of year. It's crazy out there. A friend of mine who actually goes to Costco said that the line for Costco, no, this is a 4-acre building. Okay, this is big. The line went all the way back to the frozen foods. So I think that's like 600-700 yards. I don't know. But the nice thing about Costco is people are just picking up the essentials. They're not stocking up. They're not planning, you know, like for 6 weeks of food that they need in bulk. So the line goes quick. But it's crazy, right? And as we work towards Christmas, I wanted to ask you the question. If you were to describe how you feel right now in this Advent season, what word would you use? What word would you use to describe maybe how you feel or maybe your state of mind? What's your state of mind this morning as we're moving towards Christmas? Is it busy? Frantic? Crazy? Stressful? How are you feeling? Are you sad? Are you lonely? Frustrated? Stressed? Maybe you're feeling nostalgia for what used to be. You know, we just read the passage and lit the candle of peace. But how many of you can say, that's the word that describes my state of mind, peaceful? Or that's how I'm feeling, peace. I mean, we all should have been. We just lit the candle of peace 2 minutes ago. That should have been first on our minds, but it wasn't on mine. And I actually knew where I was going with this. I had a list of about 12 things, and I still hadn't got to peace. So if you could have more than one word, and you just start listing your state of mind, how you're feeling, and you just start listing them, how far would you have to go to get this idea of peace? Peaceful. Tranquility. You know, this should be a season where we light the candle of peace. That's what we should be experiencing. And I'm guessing very, very few, if any of us, are actually experiencing that peace. And so what we're going to do today is answer the question, can we experience peace? Can we experience peace in this crazy, chaotic, angry, hateful world? Can we experience peace in this chaotic, angry, hateful world? That's what we're going to be wrestling with today. And the title of today's message is Peace on Earth, Goodwill Toward Men. I used to think that was just from Hark the Herald Angel Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild. Don't know what that means. I think it means goodwill towards men. But then it says, God and sinners reconciled. God and sinners reconciled. That's where we can have peace. And it's actually found in Luke chapter 2, verse 14. And that was read this morning. That Jen read that. And as she read that, this idea that the Savior is the one coming to bring peace. As we lit the candle, that was a reading from Colossians. And our key verse today is Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. Now, as we do that, we could just read that verse because that's where it really explains this idea of peace. It actually says it's possible to have peace. But we're going to move up to verse 17. And we're going to read a little ahead of that and a little behind that. Because our understanding of who Christ is will determine whether or not we experience peace or not. So we can go right to the verse that says, this is why we have peace, because of what Christ has done. Or we could look at who Christ is, and that would change our experience in life with peace and how that might affect us, this inner peace that he desires. So Colossians 1:17 says this, he existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So he is the first in everything. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. And through him, God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his presence and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Peace comes through Christ's physical death in the body. Peace comes through his shed blood. That's how we can have right relationship. And as Cheryl was reading that passage, did you catch that? That peace just isn't the absence of war or conflict. It's actually right relationship. Our ability to have a right relationship with God is because what he has done. And that began in eternity past. It says in the fullness of time, the culmination of time, God sent his son. So when I ask you, what is the miracle of Christmas? Is the miracle of Christmas that families actually get together and we share gifts? It's a time of rebirth and newness, and we get to kind of start over. Yeah, the new year's official, but really Christmas, we're coming together. We're putting aside our differences and all coming together. Is that the miracle of Christmas? No. The miracle of Christmas is the incarnation. That God became a man. Because he was going to have to die in his physical body and shed his blood so that we could have right relationship. We could have peace with him. That's the miracle of Christmas. And you think about the story, the narrative, the truth. The King of Glory. The one who spoke things into existence just by the power of his word. The one who holds it all together. Was born in Bethlehem to a single teenage mom. Who, by the way, was going to raise him. Along with Jesus' stepfather, Joseph, who was also a teenager. What could go wrong? I want you to think about that. You know, you want to talk about evidence. Not proof, but evidence. Think about the intricacies and the details in this story. That they were born in a small town. Jesus was going to grow up in a poor agrarian society with just a few hundred people in the village. Now, if you were wanting this message and the whole world to have peace, would you do that? Jesus never governed anything. He never conquered anything. He never held important office. He was crucified at 33 years old. But the miracle of Christmas is that's how he came. And the miracle of Christmas is that we, along with several hundred million other people, are celebrating the birth of Jesus 2,000 years later. It's not how we would have done it. It's what God did. And that miracle of conception in the womb, immaculate conception, that's part of God's plan, that God would become a man so he could make peace. The truth is we can have peace. And it only comes through Christ. Only comes when we place our faith in him. That's what reconciles us to God. The second miracle, and I think of these are the two biggest ones, at least for me, conception in the womb and resurrection from the tomb. That's what I base my faith on. Those are the biggest miracles that I know of. And that's what gives me peace, to know the God of the universe was willing to do that for me. And the evidence that we have for that. So, the reality is our understanding of who Christ is affects how and whether or not we experience peace. And I'm not just talking about our salvation. I'm talking about peace of mind. The lack of turmoil, yes. Sense of security. And stability. But God wants us to experience that here and now. I was thinking about the lack of peace at least for me, and why I had to list so many things before I got down to peace. So many other emotions, so many other states of mind, it's because I'm not focused on Him. Even in this season where that's what we say we're doing. 4 weeks leading up, so we're prepared. I'm not prepared. I'm not focused on Him. And I have my reasons, as do you. Excuses. All the things that are going on in my life and in my world. The busyness, the stress, all of those things. But when I focus on Christ, and I see Him for more of who He is, I can have that inner peace that He wants me to have. I have a friend who lost their spouse in a tragic accident. And I was talking to them about this, and it was just amazing to me as they described, and before the funeral even happened, that they described this overwhelming feeling of peace. A peace that passes all understanding. In that moment of tragedy that most of us can't even imagine, they had peace from God. I believe that didn't happen in a vacuum. I believe that happened because they know who Christ is. They know what life is about. They know what eternity is about. And they know that Christ holds all the things together. Even when we don't understand it, even when we can't see it, that He holds those things together. Speaking of Christmas and gifts, do you know Jesus left us one other than His death and His sacrifice, His resurrection? John 14:27 says this. Jesus is speaking here. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Are you troubled? Are you afraid? Stressed? Receive that gift of peace, peace of heart and peace of mind. So we have peace with God because we're reconciled to Him because of Jesus Christ. We can experience peace today, despite the chaos of the world. But what about the world? Can they experience peace? Is it possible for this world to experience it? I want to show you a short video. And it'll look like current events. So go ahead, Jason, if you'd play that, please.
34 people were arrested in a riot in the city's historic center overnight. Protesters fought with police after a stabbing.
Battle to repel a surprise invasion of its territory. Militants launched highly coordinated attacks. Gunmen infiltrated several border towns and bases.
Has continued unabated. Early morning airstrikes have killed at least 19 people. There's been growing international criticism over the number of civilian casualties.
Patrick Henry, in his great statement that says or ends with, "Give me liberty or give me death." Do you know how he starts that? That stanza, he begins with, "Peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun." Peace, peace, we want peace, but the war has actually begun. Do you recognize that there is a spiritual battle going on? Do you realize that God's enemy, and you know what Satan means, God's enemy? That's what it means. But he's not just God's enemy. He's the enemy of our souls. He wants to destroy everything that God's loving. And that's people. Both His children and those that don't yet know Him. And the enemy is at war against humanity. He wants to destroy humanity. I can tell you, most people want peace. In fact, that song, "So This Is Christmas," was an anti-war song. And one of the stanzas in there, it's in the background, it's part of the chorus, but it just comes up, "If we really want it." The world wants peace. They just don't know how to get it. And maybe John Lennon was right. If we just really want peace, we could have it. Maybe if we protest against war, we could have peace. Even if we protest violently. Wait a minute. We're going to protest violently to accomplish peace. What if we just all got together? We just put our sides, our ages, our genders, ethnicity, religion, language, culture, and we just kind of come together. Wouldn't that allow for peace? No. You know that little peace sign, little circle with the lines on it? 1950, that was created, and the idea was we've got to stop nuclear holocaust and nuclear war. We're going to destroy ourselves. How's that going for us? How many times can we blow up our world? They want it. People want peace. They want what we have. They want that gift. They need to be reconciled. Almost universally, people know that war is hell. So what do we do with that? The world continues to tell us, well, if we're generous, and that's why this Christmas season is so important to us, because we feel a little more generosity towards others. That doesn't bring peace. Maybe I'll lighten the load a little bit here. Who's seen the movie Elf? That is so ridiculously funny. I just can't help but watch it. It's on, you kind of stop. It's ridiculous. But there's some worldview in there. The world's version of how we can have peace is in that movie. And it's not just in that movie, it's in a lot of Christmas movies. It's in a lot of Christmas songs. This idea if we can just come together. It's like the documentary on pageants. You know what this is? Miss Congeniality? Wasn't that a documentary on beauty pageants? And they can say the most ridiculous things, and then they just always end up with, and world peace. What do you want? World peace. What do you want? World peace. We all want world peace. And Elf, in that movie, Buddy, he knows what he's doing. He knows how to celebrate Christmas. And at the end of that, we have the sleigh. I won't say any more than that. But the sleigh crashes in Central Park. And there's a big crowd around it. And they're all debating on what they saw and what they have and what's going on. But that sleigh is broken. It's crashed. And it can't fly because there's not enough Christmas cheer. There's not enough generosity. There's not enough believing the best in other people. And so there's a line in it at the end that says this. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loudly for all to hear. And as they begin to sing, they stand shoulder to shoulder. All these different people, they're just standing shoulder to shoulder. And sure enough, the sleigh takes off, and it's really a miracle. It's amazing. That could be the Christmas miracle. This world is not going to have peace until the Prince of Peace comes back. That's it. Peace with God. First of all, for us, trusting in Christ for our salvation, and he reconciles us. He makes this right relationship with him. Christ gives us this gift of peace of mind. But what about the world? I want to show another just short video that hopefully sets up the stage in our minds of what's really taking place. Go ahead and play that. That blizzard represents this world. And a lack of peace And there's a storm blowing. And it's hard and it's cold. It's nasty. And then that nice scene there at the fireplace, warm, cozy. Yeah, the storm is raging out there, but right here, it's very peaceful. I'm protected. It's quiet. It's calm. I want to read 1 Corinthians 5, just a little bit from it, because this gives us instructions. The first few verses talk about stop evaluating people from your human perspective, which is hard for us because we're human. Everybody we see. And so when we're looking at someone outside in that storm, instead of saying, why are they out there? What's wrong with them? It's their fault. Whatever we might feel about the people around us who are out there in the storm and they haven't experienced the peace and reconciliation that comes from knowing Christ, and we judge them and we condemn them and we're sometimes even angry with them, maybe even violent, maybe not physically violent, but certainly with our words and our thoughts and the way that we go after them and attack them, and Christ is instructing us in 1 Corinthians, stop judging them. Stop looking at them. Those out in the storm, in this crazy, chaotic, angry, hateful world, stop looking at them the way you always have. And I want you to look at them the way I do. And when Christ sees those people out in the storm, you know what he sees? People that he loves. People that he loved enough to send his son to be born in a manger. A teenage mother, poor, oppressed, and gonna die 33 years later. That's what Christ sees when he sees them, someone that he was willing to die for. That's how we should be looking at the people that are out there in that storm. 1 Corinthians 5:18 through 21 says this, and all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We're the messengers. We're his ambassadors. God is appealing to them that they can experience. He wants us to tell them how they can have peace and step out of the storm. Will we invite them into that peace that we have because of Christ? That's what's out there. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That's how we can express goodwill towards men. And I know theologically this is all God. He does both of those. But we also know that he's inviting us in to represent him, to share his message, to be ambassadors, to make his appeal to them, to come in out of the chaos, and to experience that peace that only he provides. Won't you just stay seated? We're actually going to watch a video. It's a music video, and it has the lyrics. And I want you to look and listen to the words and those lyrics. The title is, O Come All You Unfaithful. Go ahead and play it.
Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born for you. Oh, come, bitter and broken, come with fears unspoken. Of his perfect love. Oh, come, guilty and hiding ones, there is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born.
My prayer for you is that you'll experience peace. His peace. That you'll experience that gift, not just in our salvation, but a peace of mind and of heart. I also want to send you out with a challenge. Focus on Christ. Focus on Him. That's where peace comes from. Knowing Him is where peace comes from. Make your home a haven from this chaotic world. Focus on Christ with your family. Make your home a place of peace. And then I'd also challenge you, with those who don't know that peace yet, invite them in, out from that storm. Offer them the hope that we have. Offer them the peace that we have. Take that to the world. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful for the gift of your Son and Him coming and the life that He lived. We're amazed at your plans. They're not our ways. And yet, Lord, we see you working so often in our own lives. And so, Lord, we do pray for each one of us, Lord. We ask for your help as we pursue you, as we fall more in love with you. God, I pray that all of us would be experiencing the peace that you desire for us, the gift that you gave us. Take advantage of that. And Lord, that we would share that. We'd share you with this world. That we'd see people the way you do. And love them the way that you do. Lord, we pray for the opportunities you'll give us this week. Just pray that we would be usable in your hands for whatever you call us to. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week.